Are you ready?
Morning.
Morning, everyone.
And now we begin our exciting adventure of...
Rock Mornings with Craig, Venn, and Lucky starts now.
No one's that excited.
I mean, usually the shows suck in this town.
On 94.9 The Rock.
It's time to start the program. We've got a show to do. Yes, there's some dumbass paying us just to talk to you. We're sleeping with our interns. Our coffee's full of booze. Don't know what song we're playing, but it's time to take a snooze.
Dead air!
Good thing nobody's listening, or we'd be unemployed. Let's get the music going. Keeps the payola flowing. It's time to start the show, and it's unsensational, irritational, non-ovational, constipational. This is what we call the morning show.
Hi, it's Greg and Lucky.
And this is our podcast. If you don't catch us from 5 to 9, this is what you missed.
I told you never to call here again.
Is there going to be a restraining order in our future, Ed?
Oh, it's you two jokers.
Who else have you told not to call?
Pretty much everybody.
Listen, Ed, I don't know much about marketing or promotion, but when I'm trying to launch something, or if I was trying to launch a new product like you're doing with the FU Network, I'd be willing to take some phone calls. You just can't tell everybody, don't call.
Yeah, but if I took phone calls, then people would think I'm not really me anymore. And then why would they want to support me if I'm not me anymore?
Oh, I guess that's a good point.
I mean, you guys get up early. Do you ever, like, wake up and think, oh, wow, I'm not even tired. I got tons of energy. I got so much I can do today. And you're, like, full of energy. And within about 45 minutes, you're just exhausted again.
Yeah, pretty much every day.
Every morning.
Although, oh, that explains your show. I was just wondering.
So, Ed, what's on your mind? What's going on in Ed the Sox world?
Well, first of all, I want to thank everybody in Oshawa. Was out there last Friday at Brew Wizards and had a great time. Oshawa's very friendly. The people there were amazing. Oshawa was friendly. A guy, Derek Cutting, pulled up. He has a motorcycle with a sidecar, and in the sidecar is his dog, Phoenix, who's wearing a pair of goggles. They're called doggles. Where else do you get that? That's like local. He lives like 5 minutes away from Brew Wizards. You don't get that kind of stuff in Toronto. Only in Oshawa do you get local characters like that. So I had a great time there. Let's see. I'm running the crowdfunding campaign. And you know, I've learned something.
Okay.
I know that's a foreign concept to you guys.
Why don't you teach us something then?
All right. Here's the thing. Everybody complains these days about how they can't stand all the anger and the outrage on the internet. They can't stand people lining up one side against the other. And you know what? They're full of crap. Because here I am running a crowdfunding campaign trying to build something positive. And yet I know that if I were to go on and start saying that somebody was out to get me or somebody was out to try to steal people's freedoms or make up some kind of crap that I'm going to save them from, I would be I'd be a millionaire. You know, unless you give some people something to be afraid of that you can save them from, then they don't give a damn. And so that's what I think I'm going to do. What I've decided is I'm going to, my campaign slogan for the rest of the campaign for the next week is, help me fight against the need to fight against something.
So Ed, you're like the Mother Teresa, the Gandhi of Canadian entertainment.
Yeah, that's right. I walk around in round glasses and a toga. Whatever the hell that thing was that Gandhi wore. I really don't know what you call it. I can't wear that, though, because then it would be cultural appropriation.
Right. You can't have that.
Yeah, I don't want to be doing that.
No.
You use chopsticks these days. It's cultural appropriation.
Right. Now, can we go back to the dog with the goggles for a second?
I figured that's where we'd go. Yeah, let's go back to the dog with the goggles.
I think that would be a good look for you, Ed. A nice set of goggles.
I do have goggles. I mean, I don't want to get my eyes red from chlorine when I swim.
Right. Yes. All the hot tub parties, you need that.
Right.
A hot tub party? No, we don't do those anymore.
Oh, okay.
No. The health department came in, and, well, that was the end of that. Have you ever heard of ringworm? That's a thing.
Yeah. No, I'm not a big fan of the hot tubs. It's like a big DNA soup when everybody's been in them.
Yeah, can you imagine trying to take evidence from a a hot tub? That feels like a strainer. Like, okay, it'd be like Romper Room. I see Billy and Jimmy. All these different samples all mixed together in this sort of bouillabaisse of fluid.
Yeah, no.
That sounds really appetizing. Hope no one's eating right now.
All right,
by the way,
yeah.
I want to invite you guys. We're having our wrap-up party for the Indiegogo party. We, as I'm speaking to you, we passed $15,000, which was the trigger. I'm going to be doing a fromage for the Drake Degrassi video.
Nice.
So that'll be up online soon, because, boy, is that cheese bait. but we're having a party next Wednesday, July 18th, at the Pacific Junction Hotel in Toronto on King Street. And it's the party is exclusive. It's for people who've donated $100 or more to the campaign. But I'm inviting you guys to come completely free.
Wow.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that. And I see you're inviting other people, too. If they invite 50 friends, they'll get some VIP tickets as well.
Oh, yeah, there's something about that. You're right. I invite you guys, by the way, knowing full well that the party starts at 7, and that's when you guys go to bed.
Well, at least you put the offer out there, and that's much appreciated. Ed, how can we donate, my friend?
You go to, like it's the easiest way, go to funetwork.tv, and you can use Indiegogo or use PayPal. And we added this thing, the No BS Bio, where I will do a short biography of your life if you donate it the right amount. So I'm actually getting your life fromaged by me.
Wow.
I would pay a top dollar. That's priceless right there, Ed.
Oh, no, it's not priceless. It's $200.
All right, cheers, Pally. We'll see you at the party, and we'll talk to you next Thursday.
Oh, you're actually coming. Okay, I'll see you then.
I probably have to start today's show off with an apology.
You didn't. You watched the game yesterday, didn't you?
Worse than that. Worse.
You turned it on an extra time?
I turned it on just as Croatia scored that second goal. Like, you know there's no goal scoring in soccer.
All right.
I couldn't have timed this out. Literally, got home. I had been out running around. Got home. Thought, oh, yeah, I think the soccer game's on. Turned it on. Literally turned it on. Found the channel. Goal scored. I turned it off. I said, I'm sorry.
You didn't give me a chance to come back.
I said, I'm sorry. So for all my English brethren.
The dark cloud known as Craig Venn.
Continues. From the bottom of my soul, if I even have one.
Without you, it would be like the Bahamas in England. Like, oh. It would be sunny all the time. There'd be no rain.
Oh.
But your heritage.
I'm a curse to my people. I'm a curse to all sports franchises.
Wow.
You know what it is? I think it's that the sports gods know that I'm not the biggest sports fan in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I end up at like a Leaf game or anywhere,
right,
they make the team pay the price.
Right.
I could not believe it. Like, I thought to myself, okay, it's a bit of a joke, of course. Well, how much of a, you know, bad luck charm can I be?
Mm-hmm.
I could not, as soon as I turned it on.
Does it only happen with sporting events?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't think the people in my life suffer because of me.
Well.
Outside of you. And Maria.
Well, and
my children.
Just asking, because we've got the Foo Fighters tonight.
Yes.
So Dave Grohl takes an injury.
Right. Yeah, no, it just seems to be sporting events. I mean, I've been to lots of concerts and nothing's gone wrong.
Okay.
Just seems to be sporting events.
Wow. I turned it on yesterday just as England was scoring the first goal, because they scored it 5 minutes in.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've seen any of the highlights or the replays.
Yes.
I mean, the goal was incredible. But the reaction from the crowd in England.
The beer spraying.
The mist of beer that went up.
What a waste of beer.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah, it looked really cool.
It was really, really cool.
Yeah.
At every viewing party, like thousands outside watching on big screens, and the second England scored, it was just a spray of beer.
Yeah, I wonder how the Struts are going to be. We're going to talk to them today, and of course they're from England.
Yeah. We'll have to console them, perhaps.
Yeah, yeah. I'll have to apologize directly to them.
You should.
That's how we'll start the interview.
You should.
I want to apologize.
Although they're rock stars, maybe they don't care about the soccer. Although everybody does. If you're from England, right. How can you not?
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. That's all I got to say. I felt absolutely horrible. Like, I truly felt guilty.
Did you call your buddy who was telling you not to watch?
No, I haven't spoken to him. Are you kidding?
I hope he's listening. We got to let him know.
He'll come over and punch me in the face.
Yeah. It was a punch to the gut for a lot of England fans. Wow.
But Croatia, sure. I guess, had, from what I understand, this is the third game where they've come from behind, and that's just so unusual and in soccer.
The first time, I think, in World Cup history, a team's gone to the extra time three times. And they were great. Mm. Like, they were very good in the second half and in the extra time as well. Croatia, for the most part, was the better team.
And maybe England just got cocky. You know, maybe after that first goal, they probably just settled in and went, ah, we're good.
Right.
You know. Anyhow.
But that is soccer. And that's it is a bit of what drives me nuts. You know. One, because I don't have it in me as a play-by-play guy, but when you score a goal 5 minutes into a 90-minute game.
Right.
And, you know, and English hearts can smell it now. It's like, hang on.
Yeah.
With only 85 minutes to play.
Hang on. Wait. Craig Venn might turn on the TV. I'm sorry. The guy who ran into George Clooney is blaming the sun.
Oh, his son or the son?
No, the son.
Okay.
The man is 65, and he says he crossed over into George's lane because he was blinded by the sun, and he didn't realize he hit someone, especially he didn't realize he hit someone famous, until George's bodyguard ran over yelling, "You hit Clooney! Clooney, the actor!"
Wow.
Who other Clooney? Rosemary?
Hang on, a couple of things. One, interesting that it wasn't George Clooney's fault in this. Seems like it was the other guy.
It's never George's fault.
No. But two, George cracked his helmet on the windshield in the car. Yeah. It flew 20 feet in the air.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy didn't know he'd hit someone?
Well, he didn't know he'd hit someone famous.
Oh, okay.
Until the bodyguard was screaming, you hit Clooney. And then he had to repeat Clooney the actor. Like there's another Clooney.
Clooney, they were in Italy. Maybe you didn't know.
That's right. Conrad Murray, remember that name? He was Michael Jackson's doctor.
Oh, right, yes.
Well, he commented recently that he hopes Joe Jackson rots in hell.
Wow.
For hurting Michael the way he did. He says Joe was one of the worst fathers in the history of child rearing. I didn't know this, and maybe this isn't a true fact, just something Conrad Murray's made up, or maybe it is. But he claims that Joe had Michael chemically castrated to maintain his high-pitched voice.
What?
You ever hear that rumor or story?
No, I've never heard that at all.
No, I never heard that either. Anyhow, he hopes Joe finds his spot in hell. And listen, nobody can deny that Joe Jackson certainly was never going to win any Father of the Year awards, but it is odd that Conrad Murray, the man who fed Michael Jackson the drug that killed him.
Like horse tranquilizers, basically.
He's talking about hurting Michael.
Yeah.
Anyhow. And there's a movie that's going to be made about Ozzy Osbourne's life. But Sharon says it won't be about sex and drugs.
Oh, really?
How the hell do you make a movie about Ozzy's life and not include drugs? That's like making a movie about Wayne Gretzky's life and not including hockey. Bolivia. You know the Bolivia?
Heard of it.
Yeah. It's landlocked in South America, yet it has a navy with 5,000 sailors. Hasn't been in the ocean in 140 years.
That's a lot of pent-up semen.
Okay, we're done. The electricity it takes...
explains the blue in the Bolivian flag.
All right, really.
All right.
Okay. Here, you do this. What am I wasting my time? Go ahead. Read them. Go ahead. What's the next one?
I got nothing.
No, the ones that are highlighted.
Oh, okay, here. The bunny ears hand gesture was originally called Cuckold's Horn.
Mm-hmm.
People held it up behind a guy's head if they knew his wife was cheating on him.
So this is the thing. Don't ever do that behind a
Really?
Fella.
Yeah.
That was just, I thought it was a little kid's prank. You put the bunny ears up behind.
Turns out now you're telling every dude in the world that his wife's a whore.
Wow. The electricity it takes to charge your phone every night for a year costs about 50 cents.
So don't worry about it.
Hmm. Although I've heard that if you leave your battery, your phone plugged in all the time, it's not good for the battery in the phone. It overcharges it.
Oh, is this true?
And so it'll cost you more because you're going to have to replace your phone.
All batteries are a mystery to me when it comes to the recharging thing. Like your computer, people say plug it in all the time, leave it in. Some people say let it wear right down to nothing before you plug it in. I don't. All I know is every battery I have in everything never lasts.
That's true. And the flag that the Apollo 11 astronauts planted on the moon came from Sears.
That seems sad.
NASA employee bought it off the shelf for $5.50 right before the mission.
So Doug Ford and his PCs have decided they're going to get rid of this sex ed curriculum that the liberals had put in place a couple of years ago. Go back to the old one.
Mm-hmm.
Remember when they first, the liberals first put this in place, there was a lot of people who were upset. They felt like the stuff that they had heard about that was going to be taught to the younger kids was not age appropriate. And there was a lot of talk, if I remember, about, you know, there was going to be anal sex taught and how, you know, to masturbate properly, and a lot of parents were upset with that. And then I don't know, it kind of settled down. I didn't hear a whole lot about it anymore, and my kids aren't in school anymore, so, you know, they're done with all of that. So I just thought, okay, it got implemented, and then the parents kind of got accustomed to what was being taught, and they realized it wasn't all just about that.
Right.
And it settled down. But somewhere along the way, I guess, somebody's been whispering in the Ford ears because he's really made it a priority to get rid of it quick.
Yeah, and one of his main priorities. Well, the problem is that he might be ceding to the religious far right here who he used to help get elected, needed their votes, and said he would do this. And, you know, it's one thing when, you know, he campaigns on promises and says he wants to fulfill them. And one of them was to get rid of the board at Hydro One and his $6 million man in Mayo Schmidt. And he's doing that. But the other side of it is he said he wanted to do this and he's doing this right away, too.
Where the hell's our cheap beer? This is what I'm concerned
with.
Yeah,
yeah.
More than anything else. That, 10 cents less a liter of gas and all these other things. Anyhow, while flipping through a Facebook post this morning, I came upon this. A fellow by the name of Rob, who I'm friends with on Facebook, wrote this. An open letter to you, those who complained about the sex ed curriculum that the former provincial liberals put in place a few years ago. That curriculum taught kids how to protect themselves from sexting and cyberbullying. It also taught them about being inclusive to all, same-sex partners, gender identity, and respect for yourself. But now the Ford government has thrown that away because you whined and complained. You were afraid that your children would be taught how to have anal sex. Wrong. All your fears were wrong. But instead, the children of this province will be taught a sex ed curriculum that was drafted well before the internet, cell phones, Facebook, Snapchat, and oh yeah, let's not forget online porn before all of those were invented. This is all on you. No one else is to blame but you.
I got a couple of thoughts on this because my kids are going through this curriculum right now and just, in fact, just starting it at that age. And to be honest, I had no problem with it. I didn't see that. I heard the fears when it first came out. The old curriculum was established in 98. And yes, it missed a lot of things that are major issues now, like internet and the internet involvement, the new apps. Bullying, assaults, mental wellness, gender identification. And it started teaching them at a much earlier age, yes. But here's the problem. When we went through high school, you didn't get sex ed until grade 8 or into high school.
Something like that, yeah.
And, you know, tell you what, go to a seminar now where you already know the topic. Right, and how boring is that? And see how much attention you pay to it.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is kids learn about this at a much younger age now.
But they're not learning the right stuff.
No, but they're hearing about it. Yeah. And by the time they're taught the right stuff in school, I think it's too late. Mm. Because they've already heard from either their friends or learned it on the internet. We didn't have the internet when we were in school. Mm-hmm. And they don't even have to go to extreme sites to see this anymore. You don't even have to Google it. Because you can just ask Alexa, and she'll tell you.
Well, yeah, if I remember back to my school days in sex ed, I think it literally was, you know, you got married, you made babies, here's how babies were made, and that was it.
Mm.
You know, they're not even supposedly teaching safe sex that much in the curriculum that Ford is putting back in place. And of all things, that's of key importance moving forward when we have all these online datings and people are having random sex a lot more, right, perhaps now than they ever did.
The other thing is, you know, when this first was introduced by the liberals, a lot of people said, well, that's not the teacher's job, is to parent my kids. But for most parents, we let the teachers parent a lot more mm-hmm. than we actually take responsibility for. No, it's the parents' job to introduce this stuff. But if the parents aren't going to do it, and a lot of parents don't have that conversation, they find it awkward to have it, don't want to have it, so they just say, well, they're going to learn it at school anyway, so let them learn it there. The other problem with the parents teaching it for me is that, well, when these first changes came in, don't kid yourself that a lot of people hated it because the sexual orientation of the premier that put it in. And thought, hey, you know what? Why are we teaching gender identification? Oh, now I know why we're teaching about same-sex marriages and that sort of thing.
You're right. You're right.
And that is the exact type of hate and a rhetoric that needed that program to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, the fact that it's being taken out, it's the people who complain. The squeaky wheel gets the grease, and you hear the complaints. You know, you're not hearing the complaints. You weren't hearing the complaints until election time came around. It was a very small majority, I think, or minority that were actually complaining about it. But they helped get Ford elected, and so he's going to take it through.
Now, you actually have a teacher who is teaching the program, and they also feel that the changing the curriculum back is a mistake.
Yeah, looking at social media, and I have friends who are teachers, and they're saying, you know, going to a program that goes back before teen cell phone usage and social media and doesn't address consent and same-sex and gender identities is just wrong, and the conversations that people are having online about it are very interesting on both sides, because, you know, there are parents who are saying, you know, they want their kids taught how to have healthy relationships and to learn that in school with their peers, with mm-hmm. them beside them mm-hmm. too, so that everyone's having that conversation and having the same conversation in that program. And listen, some of this goes back to the person who wrote the curriculum had a suspicious background behind them, and I understand that. But, you know, I think for me, the point is that the kids get it at an age-appropriate time, which I think is earlier than us. Sex is introduced to kids much earlier now, mm-hmm. thanks to the environment and the internet that they're in. That, you know, you can't wait until kids are 13, 14, 15 years old to start talking to them about it.
And I don't think, even if you are teaching your kids about sex, and I had the sex conversation, the birds and the bees mm-hmm. talk with my boys.
But at what age?
Well, they were young. But I did it because my mom also shared the birds and the bees story with me when I was like 7, or my sister was in a stroller, and I remember asking my mom, are we keeping the stroller for another baby? And she said, no, we're not having any more babies. And then she just laid it out to me, but in very, you know, technical terms.
Right.
When a man loves a woman, this kind of story.
And then a stork arrives.
A stork arrives, that's right. And daddy drinks a bottle of rye. And so she laid it out to me early, and I did the same. But it's very focused when a parent teaches their kids about sex on that individual. Mm. You know, here's, be safe, wear a condom. Here's, you know, you should wait, you know, whatever, however you lay it out to your children. And a lot of times it won't include respecting others and gender identity and same-sex marriage, because you just want your kid to be safe. You want your kid to know the lay of the land. And so that's what you feed them. They get all that other stuff through school, and they won't now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a shame, I think.
Rock Mornings with Craig, Venn, and Lucky. Weekday mornings starting at 5 on 94.9 The Rock.